Take your Bibles, please, and go to Job chapter 1, if you will. The book of Job. I want to commend you folk being out here this evening. You know, in South Carolina, where I live, we have one red light in Star, South Carolina. One red light. Look, you people down here in Atlanta, look at you. Look at the traffic down here. How I thank the Lord I live in Star, South Carolina. Well, anyhow, it's good to see you all out here, and it's a great crowd. We're so glad you folk have come this evening. And we're bringing a message on why, about these trials, why we go through these trials and so forth. And, you know, from this room alone, we could probably write a book on the unusual trials that all of us have gone through. Would you all look at Job chapter 1? Verse 1 through 3, there's a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And the word of God goes on to say the next verse about this man. Now, this is very interesting, so look at verse 3, please. His substance also was 7,000 sheep. 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Our dear Father, we need your divine help and direction tonight to preach the Word of God, that you could speak to our lives and minister to us. We don't know, Father, all the trials that these dear people are going through and what they're experiencing. And I pray the Word of God would minister to our lives. We ask in Christ's name, amen. In this passage which I just gave you, we find a man of God named Job. And Job was a very wealthy man. 7,000 sheep. 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys. The Bible says he was the wealthiest man of the East. However, Job had something greater than wealth. Job had character. A man is a very poor individual if all he has is wealth. You see, character is very crucial. Now, reputation is what people think you are, but character is what God knows you are. And Job was a man of unusual character. And I want to show you what made up the character of this godly man. The Bible says, first of all, that Job, in verse 1, that Job feared God. Now, the word fear means to have a reverence, a godly reverence for. And the Bible says that Job feared God. The Bible tells you in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 22, verse 4, the Bible says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And Job was a man of God who feared God. He absolutely stood in awe of the power, the majesty, and the glory of God Almighty. But also the Word of God says, he not only feared God, but the Bible says in verse 1, he eschewed evil. What does that word mean? It means he had an absolute hatred for that which is sin. You want to know how I recognize that our nation lacks character? It's how our world looks upon sin. For example, the world says that sin is an accident. God says it's an abomination. Man says, well, sin is a blunder. The Bible says that sin is a blindness. Man says, well, sin is just a chance. The Bible says, no, sin is a choice. Man says, well, sin is just my weakness. The Bible declares that sin is wickedness. And this man of God was a man who had an absolute hatred for that which is sin. The Word of God says in Romans 12:9, abhor that which is evil. Jeremiah 10:2 says, learn not the way of the heathen. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know what, congregation? If you're saved, you know the cry that ought to come from your heart tonight? The cry from your life ought to be, dear Father, give me character where I fear you and I hate evil. And this is what this man of God had. But second of all, I want you to notice this man's calamities. Now, I could read the passage to you, but let me sum it up what happened to this great man of God. This multi-billionaire would be the wealthiest man on the face of the earth today. Job, one day, had his servant come rushing to him and said, Job, the Sabaeans attacked. They took all of your oxen and all of your donkeys. They're all gone. He no sooner finished when the second servant came rushing in and said, Job, fire fell from heaven, burned up all of your sheep. They're all gone. When he finished, a third servant comes dashing in and said, Job, the Chaldeans attacked. They came from nowhere. They took all your camels. And then a fourth servant comes in and said, Job, your seven sons and your three daughters have all been killed. Then Job 2:7 says, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Look here, in a brief period of time, Job lost his entire wealth. Then the Word of God says he lost his entire family. Then the Bible says he lost his health. This man of God faced a major catastrophe. He was literally wiped out. Now look at me. Just because you have character, where you fear God and you hate evil, does not mean that you will be exempt from the hardships of life. 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Romans 8:18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And this man of God, the Bible says his calamities were absolutely phenomenal. But third of all, I want you to notice the conduct of this man of God after he loses everything. Look with me, please, in verse 20 through 22. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. This deeply stirs my heart right here. This man of God, when he lost everything, did not cry and say, why God, why me? But what does he do? The Bible says he falls down on the ground and he worships. Do you know what Job was saying in essence? Job was saying, God is God. Let come what may, God is still God. That's why this man of God said in Job 13, 15, though he slay me, yet what trust in him? You know something, congregation? Whenever you cannot trace the hand of God upon your life, you must trust the hand of God upon your life. Psalm 37, 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. Proverbs 3, 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Isaiah 26, 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And this man's conduct is so powerful. But last of all, would you now go to the last book, Job 42? I want to show you this man's coordination. In Job chapter 42, look at verse 12 and 13. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses. Now verse 13, he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now would you look at me, because this is so powerful. At the beginning, the Word of God says this man had 7,000 sheep. Now the Bible tells you he has 14,000 sheep. At the beginning, he had 3,000 camels. Now he has 6,000 camels. At the beginning, he had 500 yoke of oxen. Now the Word of God says he has 1,000 yoke of oxen. At the beginning, he had 500 donkeys. Now he has 1,000 donkeys. At the beginning, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And now the Word of God says he has 7 more sons and 3 daughters. What a God. So often, these bad things that happen to God's people, so often when you, sir, or you, lady, are going through this devastating trial and this great loss, what is God doing? Destroying you? Huh? Look at me. Is he destroying you, sir? Hey, lady, is he devastating you? No. He will develop your life. You know what Job said in Job 23:10? When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And that's exactly the truth. Now, I know you folk believe that preachers are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. I know you folk believe that. Well, I was born with a coal shovel in my mouth. Okay, I'm proud of it. I'm a son of a coal miner. I've gone through very deep trials in my home. My grandfather was murdered. My favorite Uncle Tony was a coal miner, and they knocked him out and robbed him and placed a dynamite cap around his neck and blew his head off. My beautiful niece, Carla, was murdered in Lorain, Ohio, a few years ago. Again, not too long ago, my cousin committed suicide. I lost my father and my brother in a 2-month period of time. A few years ago, I preached my mother's funeral. I want to tell you folks something. It's done something to me that I never had before. Did you hear what I said? There's something in my life I never had before. It's made me more tender. It's made me more sympathetic. My heart bleeds when I hear of what God's people go through. It's done something to me. You see, the Word of God tells you in Psalm 66 and verse 12, we went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Look, congregation, God is in control of every step of your life. You need to realize that. And like Job, as God honored this man, and his life has been a blessing to millions and millions of God's people, the same is true in the life of every child of God who, like this man of God, has the same conducts. So God could crown your life and make you a blessing to others as well. However, if you're not saved tonight, you don't know Christ as your Savior. So often you may wonder, why do I? If it's God says a God of love, and by the way, He is a God of love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. And God is a God of love. But so often you go through this devastating trial, and you wonder, if He's a God of love, then why did this happen to me? You know what, congregation? What the Bible says in 2 Samuel 22:7? In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Are you aware that most people, when they are in good health, when they are financially set, when the sun is shining and the skies are blue upon your life, most people have no time for God until there's a major catastrophe within their lives. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. And so often, people only call upon God in this dark hour that comes upon them. Several years ago, I'm preaching the Word of God in a northern state. And while I'm preaching up there, like, I don't know who's here this evening. I do not know what you're going through. And God's my witness. But I will tell you this much. When you preach the Word of God, the blessed Holy Spirit applies the message, makes you recognize, if you're unsaved, your need of God's Son who died for you to give you abundant life and life everlasting if you come to Him. And as I preached that message up in the state of the northern state, gave the invitation, people came down the aisle, and the dear lady came down the aisle, and plus others, but she came down, and I don't know what's going on when people come forward. And so at the close of the service, that lady wanted to meet me, and so they brought her to me, and she said, may I speak with you, sir? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, my neighbor brought me tonight. I said, well, one, we're glad you came. She said, can I tell you about my life? I said, well, what is it, ma'am? She said, well, sir, I have terminal cancer. I have a very brief time of life left in me, according to my doctors. For the last few months, I've been going everywhere. I've been searching. I know I'm going to meet God. I know I'm going to die. And my neighbor invited me, and I came tonight, and I heard that Christ died for my sins, and I didn't know that. He could give me everlasting life. This is all new to me. And then she said, I just received Christ as my Savior. I wanted you to know that I just got saved. I said, well, ma'am, I am thrilled you got saved. But then she shocked me. I mean, absolutely, I was not expecting this. She said, I'm not through. I'm not through, sir. I said, what is it, ma'am? She said, if it took this terminal cancer to bring me to Jesus Christ, and then she literally did this. She opened her hands like this with tears streaming. She said, I welcome the cancer. I now know when I die, I know I'm going to heaven. Jesus gave me everlasting life. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Who else can you look to, sir? Hey, lady, who can you look to? You can't turn to money. It'll fail you. You can't turn to friends. They'll disappoint you. You got to look one way. You got to get your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and come to Him and let Christ save you. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Before I do pray, you've listened well tonight. And I'm grateful you folk are here and that the Holy Spirit, I pray, has ministered to your life through the Word this evening. They're going to play a song, Trust and Obey. And while they're getting ready, page 413, I'm going to have Brother Rob lead us in a moment. Before he does, though, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed. You say, Brother Jerry, you may not know what I'm going through, but I'm going through a very difficult situation right now. And when you mention all the things that's happened in your life, and I look back up all the things that's happened in my life, I do realize that God's not destroying me, is he? No, he's not. If you're unsaved tonight, you say, well, Brother Jerry, I'm not saved. I don't know Christ as my Savior. I've never allowed anyone to take the Holy Bible and show me how I could receive Christ as my personal Savior, that he could save me and he could give me everlasting life so when I know when I leave this earth, I could go to heaven. I don't know that. I don't know the Bible. But I tell you this, I believe the Bible, and I believe what you preach tonight is truth. I need to be saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, in a moment, if you'd like to be saved, when we stand, I'm going to invite you to step out and come to Pastor Todd. And if you're a man, there'll be a man who'll take the Bible. If you're a lady, there'll be a lady, and they'll take the Bible and take you in a side room, and they'll show you how you can come to Christ. Christians, I'd like to invite you tonight. Perhaps you want to come to this altar and kneel and voice to God and say, Lord, you know what I'm going through. Lord, I want my conduct to be of the same conduct of this man of God, Job. Perhaps you say, Lord, I need the character of this man of God where I fear you and I hate evil. Whatever your need is, child of God, would you please respond? Would you come as well? Oh, dear Father, now take the word of God this evening. Help those who aren't saved to come to the Savior. Help people of God to respond to thy divine truth. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Would you all take your psalm books now and go to 413, 413? And when you find it, look at me for just a moment.